Okay, good morning. Thank you very much for coming. Today's daf is daf vav. We were on the bottom of Heilun Days, and thank you for joining and learning Torah. Yiratzum ulfanecha, Adonai Elohai v'lev osai, shelo ye'era dvar ta'kalal yodiv lo kashel v'dvar alachav yismachu v'chaveray. Omar al tamei tar v'lo tar tamei v'lo mutar asa v'lo asa mutar v'lo kashel chaver v'dvar alachav esmach b'hem. We're on the bottom here of Hamid Beis. We had a whole series of conversations between Rav Yitzchak and Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman had asked questions. Rav Yitzchak had said answers in the name of Rav Yochanan. So we are on almost the last of the conversations here on the wide lines. I guess we might as well start on the first of the wide lines. Rav Nachman had asked Rav Yitzchak a question during the meal, and Rav Yitzchak said, "We're not allowed to talk during the meal." That's Rav Yochanan said. During a meal, you can't talk because you might choke. So finally, on the third word here now, on the first wide line, Basar de Sa'ud, after they finished eating, and Hamid Beis, Amar Lehachi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yitzchak said to Rav Nachman, here's a new lesson, this is something that Rav Yochanan said. Yaakov Avinu lo meis, our father Yaakov never died. Amar Leis, he said, what do you mean he never died? Rav Nachman says back, V'chi b'chdi savtu savdanaya v'chantu chantaya. Was it for nothing that the eulogizers gave eulogies, that the embalmers embalmed him, the kavru kavrayan, that the undertakers buried him? We have all the psukim in Parshas Vayechi that Yaakov dies and that they embalm him and they bury him, they eulogize him. It's a whole thing. It goes on for months, 70 days. So what do you mean? It was all for nothing? Amalei. So Rav Yitzchak responded, all right, those psukim are psukim in Vayechi. But on the other hand, Mikra ani doresh, but I'm interpreting a pasuk. Shanamas, it says in Yirmiyah, Va'at al tira avdi Yaakov, and you do not be afraid, my servant Yaakov, Num Hashem, says God. Va'al techas Yisrael, and don't tremble, Israel, ki hinani moshiacha me'racho, because I'm going to save you from afar. Ve'esaracha me'eret shebiyam, and your descendants from the land that's in me'eret shebiyam. Your descendants from the land of their captivity. So therefore, the verse talks about Yaakov, and it talks about Zaracha, your descendants. So Makishula Zaro, it's comparing Yaakov to his descendants, Mazaro Bachaim, just like his descendants are alive. Afu Bachaim, it means that he, Yaakov Avinu, is alive. Amar Rav Yitzchak said another lesson now. Kala Omer Rachav Rachav Miyad Nikri. Anyone who says Rachav twice will right away have discharges of semen. That Rachav was such a beautiful woman. Rachav is the woman in the beginning of the book of Yoshua. When Yoshua sends the two spies, they find themselves in the home of Rachav, who's a prostitute. She hides them from the officers of the king of Jericho, who's looking for them. And then they tell her, you know, put a red string in your window, and even though all of Jericho is going to fall down, you're going to be saved, you and your family, because you're going to have the red string in your window. So anyway, she was a very beautiful woman, Rachav. She ended up marrying Yoshua. So anyone who says Rachav, Rachav, right away, he would get a discharge of semen. I'm Leir of Nachman. Of Nachman said, what do you mean? I know, I mean, I say it, Rachav, Rachav, it doesn't do anything to me. I don't get excited. Amar Leir, so if Yitzchak explained to Rav Nachman, who we had all these conversations with, Ki Kamina, what I was saying, what I was referring to, Yoda, if somebody knows Rachav, Uva Makira, and he recognizes her, so if he knew her and he knew what she looked like and he said her name, that alone would be enough to cause someone to have a discharge of semen. But if you don't know who she is and you just say Rachav, it just sounds, that's not going to cause a discharge of semen. Okay, Kiavu Miftri Me'adzadi. So when Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak finally are going to leave from each other, Amar Lei, so Rav Nachman said to Rav Yitzchak, all these conversations, he said, Livrachan Mar, our master should teach us, should bless us, I mean. You, Rav Yitzchak, give me a bracha. Amar Lei, so Rav Yitzchak said to Rav Nachman, okay, Em Shalacha Mashal and Mahadavar Doma. Let me give you a parable, what this matter is like. La'adam Shayeholich Vamidbar, a man is walking through the desert, Vayarayv, and he's hungry. V'ayef, and he's tired. V'tzameh, and he's thirsty. So there are three things here. He wants to eat, he's exhausted, and he's thirsty. He needs to drink. U'matzilin sheperosa mesukin. Then he finds a tree in the desert, which its fruits are very sweet. So that's good for eating. V'tzilo na'et, and it has very pleasant shade. So Rashi explains, if a person's tired, he wants to rest, to renew himself. But the shade is good, so that's great, a great place to rest. V'amas ha'mayim overes tachtav, and a stream of water is going underneath the tree. So what does the person do? Acham yipeirosav, he eats some of the fruit. V'shasam yimeimav, and he drinks some of the water. And he sat in the shade. And then when he wants to leave, Amar, he said, Ilan, Ilan, tree, tree, bama avarechecha. With what can I bless you? If I should tell you, I wish your fruit should be sweet. Your fruits are sweet. That you should have good shade and people should be able to rest under you, like me who's exhausted. Your shade is good. That you should have a stream of water underneath you so people can drink. There is a stream of water already passing underneath you. So what can I bless you with? You have all the good things. You have the water, you have the fruit, you have the shade. Ella, so my blessing is, Yehi Ratzon, it should be God's will. Shakol Netzil, Shenotim Mimcha, that all the saplings that they plant from you, Yiyu Kimoscha, they should also be like you. So that's what Rav Yitzchak was telling Rav Nachman. So Rashi explains the three things that he's referring to here, eating, drinking, and having a place to rest, are Torah, wealth, and honor. It's basically saying, Rav Nachman, you have this, you have Torah, you have wealth, you have honor. So, what can I ask? What should I hope for you? You already have it all, but I hope that your children should also have it all. They should also merit to have Torah, wealth, and honor. Afata, so to you. How can I bless you? In b'Torah, to give you a blessing for Torah. Hey, Torah, you already have Torah. You're a big Talmud Chacham. In b'Osher, wealth. Hey, Osher, you have the wealth. In b'Banim, children. Hey, Banim, you have children. Elihi Ratzon, may it be Hashem's will, Sheyu Tzeitzai Me'echa Kimoscha, that those who come out of you should also be like you. They should also merit to have Torah, wealth, and children.
So he never thanked the tree and never blessed the tree.
Well, if you bless the tree. I think that is. If you bless the tree that its children. No, but if you bless the tree that its children should be like it, then that's really the ultimate. No, that's a blessing also, because really, what does a person want? A person wants that his children should have the best and good stuff. So he blesses the children, the children should have all the good things that the tree has. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. That's great. You know, that's really a great wish for somebody. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so now we're going to talk about rain. We're going to talk about the pasuk in Kriyat Shema, where the pasuk says, "V'nasati mitar artzachem bi'ito." I'm going to give the rain of your land at its time, yore umalkosh. Both the yore rain and the malkosh rain. Yore is the rain that comes down right after planting, and the malkosh is the final rain. It's the last rain, right before it gets harvested. The Torah says, if you keep all the mitzvos, and you love Hashem, and you serve Him with all of your heart, then Hashem promises, I'm going to give the rain of your land, Yore u'malkosh, Yore and Malkosh. Why is it called Yore? So Yore is in the word more, one who instructs. Shemores habrios, that when the first rain comes down, it's instructing all the people, la'atiyaka agusehem, to put pitch on top of their roofs, because now it's rainy, so you want to cover the roof so that it doesn't develop any leaks. Ulachnis es perosehem, and to bring in the wheat that's drying out in the fields and not get ruined by the rain. Velasos kol tzarchem, and do all the other things that they have to do now that it's raining. Davarach, another explanation, why is it called Yore? Yore is from the word marve. It fills up. Shemarve sa'aretz. It satiates the earth. Umashka, and it gives to drink. Ad to home until the depth. Shenem, as it says, Tzlameha rave nachas kidudeha. The furrows fill Birvivim Timogegna Simcha Tivarech, that the rain is Raveh, the rain is Miraveh, the rain fills up all the furrows of where it was plowed in the earth, and Nachas Gdudeh, it makes it very pleasant for the battalions of people, for all the people, they're very happy. And Bir Vivim, and through the thin rain, then Timogagna, that'll soften and moisten the earth. And in that way, Tzimcha Tevarech, you'll bless the plant. So far, two explanations for the word Yora. Yora either is that it's instructive. Once you have the first rain, you know you have to act winter time in the winter way. Or the idea of Yora is that it fills up. Davaracher, third explanation, Yora. That's to say, Shiyore Benachas, that it comes down very pleasantly, just like a more, he's a teacher who teaches in a pleasant way. Ve'eino yored bizaaf, and it doesn't come down in a fury. O'eino yore ela shemeshir saperos. Maybe yore is not a blessing. Maybe yore is a curse. And the word yore means that it knocks off the fruits. Ooh, mashtifes azrayim. And it, washes away and ruins the seeds. Mashtifes ha'ilanos, and it ruins the trees. Tamaloma, that's the verse, also says Malkosh. Malkosh levracha, just like Malkosh is for blessing. Af yora levracha. So to the word yora means a blessing. Says the Braisa, maybe Malkosh isn't a blessing. Oh, eino Malkosh. Ela shemapila sabatim mishabres ha'ilanos. Maybe the word Malkosh is from the two words, Malkoshe. That it cuts down the trees, and even cuts down the hard things. It cuts down the houses, and maybe it's a rain that breaks things. It breaks trees. It breaks houses. Maybe Malkosh means umale sasakayim. Maybe Malkosh means it brings up locusts. So says the Braisa. No, tamalom or yoreh. Since the pasuk says in the Shema that if you do the mitzvos, right, v'nasati mitaret zechem bi'ito, Hashem says I'm going to put the rain of your land at its time. Yore u'malkosh. So it said yore before malkosh. So tamal omer yore. Then it says malkosh. Ah, yore livracha, just like yore is a blessing of malkosh livracha. So what do you mean? The braisa doesn't make sense. Yore gufei mino. We said that the word yore might mean a curse, like arua, right? It could mean a curse. It could mean that it's a rain that's destroying things. It could be a meshiras haperos. It's knocking off the fruits. Mashtifes azraim. It's washing away the plantings. Mashtifes ha'ilanos. Washing away the trees. So the Gemara says, all right, there's a pasuk that says it, that it's a blessing. There's a pasuk that says, Uvnei Tzion, and the children of Zion, Gilu v'simchu b'Hashem elokeichem. Be happy with Hashem your God. Ki nasan lachem es ha'mora litzdaka. For he has given to you the mora, the first rain, so that you can give tzedaka. Vayord lachem geshem, and he gave you down rain, more umalkosh parishon, more and malkosh all in that first month, the month of Nisan. So since it says exclusively yore litzdaka, so clearly yore is a blessing. If yore is a blessing, malkosh is also a blessing. Tana rabbanu din abraisa, yore b'mar cheshvan. Yore is coming down, ideally, in the best time, in Cheshvan. Umalkosh, the Nisan. And Malkosh, the last rain, the rain right before you harvest, that is in the beginning of Nisan. You're saying Yoreh starts in Cheshvan. Malkos is the ending rain, and that's in Nisan. Oh, wait, no, Yoreh b'Tishrei. Maybe Yoreh is already in Tishrei, right after Sukkot. Oh, Malkos be'Iyar. And Malkos maybe is already still in Iyar. And there's still rain needed because you still have things that are standing in Nisan. That's the verse says, V'nasati metar artzachem be'ito Yoreh u'Malkos. That if you do the mitzvahs, I'm going to give the rain of your land at its best time, the Yoreh and the Malkos. So therefore, since it says be'ito, it's supposed to be at the best time. The best time is Cheshvan and Nisan, because Cheshvan is really the beginning. And Nisan, there are a lot of plants still up there. And since there are a lot of plants, they can all benefit from the Malkos. What is Malkos? Amar Rav Nihilai Bar Idi Amar Shmuel. Malkos stands for Davar Shemol Kashyoseim Shel Yisrael. Something that cuts down the stiff-necked nature of the Jewish people. Sometimes we don't do tshuva. But if Hashem doesn't send rain, then we're scared. We're not going to have food. Then we get humbled. And we repent. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tanan the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, it was taught. Malkos stands for Davar Shememale Tzvua Bikasha, something which fills in the wheat when the wheat is still on its stalks. So, Memale Bikasha. That's how you get to the word Malkos. In other words, that it's a rain that comes down when the grain has grown, and now it's going to gain a little bit more. B'masnisas on the Braisa, we were taught, Malkos means Davar Shiyored Ala Melilos, something that comes down on those grains at the top of the stalks, that people like to take them off, to take off the grains, ala kashim, and on the stalks. San Rabbanu Medina Braisa, Yoreh b'Cheshvan, u'Malkos b'Nisan. As we said, Yoreh, the first rain, that its time is Cheshvan, and Malkos, the final rain, is in Nisan. Maybe Yoreh is in Kislev. Tamaloma, that's why the verse says, Be'ito Yoreh u'Malkos. So Malkos be'ito, just like Malkos is at its time, af Yoreh be'ito. And so therefore, it's got to be, the Malkos has to be in Nisan. That's a good time for it. If you're going to wait for the Malkos all the way for Iyar, that is not going to be a good thing. So therefore, Yoreh also is at its best time, which has to be in Cheshvan. Tanyidach, we have though a different brisa. Different brisa says, Yoreh b'mar Cheshvan u'Malkos b'Nisan divrei Rabbi Meir. Only Rabbi Meir is the one who holds that Yoreh is the rain that comes in Cheshvan, and Malkos is the final rain which should come in Nisan. Chacham is saying, no, Yoreh b'Kislev. Yoreh, the first rain comes down now in Kislev, not in Cheshvan. Man Chacham, who's this Tana who disagrees with Rabbi Meir? I'm Rav Chizr, Rav Yossi, it's Rav Yossi. The time is looking at a brisa. Ezohi, Revi'a Rishona. What is the time for the first rain? Ha-Bechira, an early first rain, would be Bishlosh Mar Cheshvan, or the third of Cheshvan. Beinonis, if it's a middle-level first rain, the second rain. So the first rain, the Bechira, should be on the third of Cheshvan. The second rain, Bishivabon, the seventh. Afela, the later one, the third rain, is B'Shivaserbo, on the 17th of Cheshvan. Devei Rabbi Meir, that's what Rabbi Meir says. Rabbi Yehuda Meir says, no, it starts B'Shiva, the first rain is on the 7th, the second rain, best time, would be B'Shivaser, on the 17th, and the third rain, B'Esen V'Shlosh, on the 23rd of Cheshvan. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, we'll shift it all. The first rain should start B'Shivaser, on the 17th of Cheshvan, the second rain is B'Esen V'Shlosh, on the 23rd, and the third is B'Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Rabbi Yossi used to say, "Ein ayechidim misanim." The tzaddikim don't fast until Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Until we got to Rosh Chodesh Kislev without the rain. So the Chacham of the Braisa that said that Yoreh is in Kislev, that's the view of Rabbi Yossi, that the third rain is in Kislev. Now all of these three rains, they're all considered Yoreh. So that's why Rabbi Yossi holds that the tzaddikim aren't going to start fasting for lack of rain if until Rosh Chodesh Kislev comes and still we haven't had any of the Yoreh.
When do they start saying the Tehillim in Israel?
Saint Salim Matar, I think, starts the 7th of Cheshvan. That's what we saw a couple of days ago. Yeah. 14 days after Sukkot. Amar Rav Chisda said, Halacha Rav Yossi, Halacha is like Rav Yossi. Ameimar Masni Ladr Rav Chisda B'Hai Lishna. Ameimar taught the lesson of Rav Chisda in the following way. We learned in a Mishnah, V'shlosh of Mar Cheshvan Sholin Esak Shamin. On the 3rd of Cheshvan, we start asking for rain, saying with Saint Talamatar. Rabbi Gamliel on Bishiva Abbo, Rabbi Gamliel says on the 7th of Cheshvan, I'm Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda said, Allah Rabbi Gamliel, that we start asking for rain on the 7th of Cheshvan. Come on, Azla Tanya, who does the following rice to follow? The Bryce says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Geshamim Shiyard Yeshiva Yam Zeachazeh, rain that came down for 7 days, one after the next. Atamona Bahan, Revia Rishon Oshnia. You can have within these 7 days the first rain and the second rain, and Vishlishas, and the third rain. The second and third. So come on, who's that like? That's like Rabbi Yossi. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, the first rain is on the 27th of Cheshvan. The second rain is on the 23rd of Cheshvan. So that's within a week. And then from the second rain, from the 23rd of Cheshvan to Rosh Chodesh Kislev, 7 days later, that's also a week. So according to Rabbi Meir, the difference between the first rain on the 3rd of Cheshvan and the second rain on the 7th of Cheshvan is not a week. It's 7 days. Right? And the difference between the second rain on the 7th of Cheshvan and the 3rd rain on the 17th is also not 7 days. It's 10 days. But according to Yehuda, the difference between the first rain on the 7th of Cheshvan and the second rain on the 17th is 10 days. So the one who would say that it's a week to go from first rain to second rain and a week to go from second rain to third rain, that's the view of Rabbi Yossi. I'm Rav Chisda. And according to this again, Rav Chisda said, Halacha Rabbi Yossi, Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So Bishma Revia Rishon, I understand why we need to know when the first rain is supposed to come, when the second rain is supposed to come. That's the issue of Lishal. When do you start saying the same Talam Matzar? Shlish is when's the third rain coming, Lisanos. When do you start fasting when you didn't have any rain? The time for the third rain has arrived and you still haven't had any rain. You have to start fasting. But Shnia Lamai, what's the halacha difference whether the second rain comes on the 23rd of Cheshvan, or the second rain comes on the 17th of Cheshvan, or the second rain comes on the 7th of Cheshvan? I'm Reb Zer. Reb Zer said the difference is Linadzarim. If a person made a vow, the times we went to the Mishnah, now starting Vavam and Beis. I know there, Ada Geshamim, somebody made a vow. He said, I'm not going to eat meat until the rains. So they said rains in the plural tense. So I know they're Adak Hashamim. Or he said, Adshiyu Hashamim. He's not going to eat rain once the rain, he's not going to eat something once the rain starts.
It's not nice.
So then, Adshiterid Revi Ashniya, that means till the second rain comes. Because once you talk about the rainy time, that's when you have the second rain. Because once you have the second rain, Rashi explains, "B'nedarim holchan achar lashem bnei adam." In Nedarim, we follow what a person normally means, what people refer to these terms. "Bein korin geshamim l'rishona ad sheteret shniyah." So geshamim is only once you had the second rain. Shemikan ve'elach, because at that point, "Mukolkalos hadrachim." That's when the roads are all ruined. "Umusas mufnei geshamim," and they're ruined because of the rain. Rav Zvid Amar, Rav Zvid said, it's necessary to know when's the second rain in order to know when people who are not poor can go into the fields and take the leftovers, the things that fell. Now, normally the things that fall are to be left for the poor. That's Lekka, that's the whole story of Rus and the field of Boaz. But at a certain point, the poor people took whatever they wanted. It's Hefker. So since it's Hefker, anybody can go take it. So Rav Zvid said the second rain is necessary the zesim, to know at what point a person's allowed to take olives that are left in the field. It's not as much in the Mishnah. Hey, must I call Adam mutarim beleket b'shikcha ubepeya? At what point are everybody allowed, even the rich, allowed to go into the fields and take the forgotten bundles or the corner or the leket, the stalks that fell? Mishayelchu hanemushos. Once the nemushos have already walked through, because once the nemushos have walked through, then the poor have given up on it. However, in grapes, beperet, at what point are you allowed to take the grapes that fell? If you're not a poor man, uva ololos, or at what point are you, a non-poor man, allowed to take the misshapen clusters? Yishayelchu aniyim bekerem. Once the poor people have already walked through the vineyard once, viyavou, and they've walked through a second time. And now, bezesim, at what point can non-poor people go in and take the leftover olives? Mishatered reviyashniya. Once there was the second rain. Once there was the second rain, the poor have given up on getting any more. So once they've given up on getting any more, it was hefker. Once it's hefker, everybody's allowed to go take. So it said in the wheat field, it's once the nemushos walk through. My nemushos. What are the nemushos? Two opinions. Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Savi da azli atigra, old people that are walking with a cane. So if you have old, poor people walking with a cane, they walk through very deliberately. So since they walk through very deliberately, if there's anything there, they picked it up. So the poor people give up. They said, after those poor after the old poor people went through, we're not going to find anything. So now everybody can go and find. And Rish Lakish Amar, it's laki lekute basa lekute. Those who are picking with somebody behind them picking. In other words, a poor person who's walking with a little child. So whatever he doesn't see, his child is going to see. So after that went through, then already the poor people have given up on getting anything, and then everybody can go take from the wheat field. Okay, so why do we have to know the time of the second rain? We need to know the time of the second rain to know when everybody's allowed to now take from the leftover olives. Rav Papa said, we need to know the time of the second rain, kidei lahalech b'shvili arishus, to know how long travelers are allowed to walk on private paths. The Beis Din gives permission for people to walk through private paths until the second rain. That reminds, we've learned, Mahalkin kol adam b'shvili rishus. When people are trying to get back home after they were in Yerushalayim, they're allowed to walk on private property, on paths, to get to, you know, to have cut-throughs. Until the second rain comes. Because once the second rain comes, now already the grain is starting to grow. And if people are going to walk through the fields, they're going to be ruining the plants, and then they don't have permission anymore to walk through the fields. The reason why we have to know when the second rain comes, whether it comes on the 17th of Cheshvan, or the 7th of Cheshvan, or the 23rd of Cheshvan, is necessary. Leva'er peiro shvius. To make hefker the fruit of Shemitah. It sounds good in the Mishnah. Masai nanin v'sorfin, it's heaven of a kash shel shvius. How long can you benefit from and burn hay that grew in the seventh year? Ad shetered revia shnia, until the second rain comes down. But once the second rain comes down, that's it. You're not allowed to leave it in the homes, and you have to get it out of the house. My taima, what's the whole source of the reason of biur? The pasuk says, make the land rest in Shemitah, and for your domesticated animals and the wild animals in your land, you should leave all the grain so that it can be eaten. That tells you, when the wild animal has what to eat from this fruit in the field, then you can feed to your domesticated animal at home from this fruit. But once the wild animal doesn't have this available to it in the field, in Abayas. Now take it out from your domesticated animal from the house and make it hefker. So hay and stubble there out in the field until the second rain. Once you have the second rain, it's going to ruin it. So therefore, it's only available to the animals till the second rain. Once you have the second rain, you now have to take it out of your home. It's the time for biur. It's the time to make it hefker. Am Rebavo said, my lashon revia. Why is the term for rain, right? The first rain is called revia rishona. So why? What is this term revia? What it means is davar sheroveya sakarka, something that has intercourse with the earth. Can Rebbe Yehuda Rebbe explain? Rebbe Yehuda Rebbe said, Mitra balaz arahu, the rain is like the husband of the earth having relations with the earth. Just like the rain's going to come down from the heaven and not go back to the heaven, kimer vasarts, until it fills the earth, v'holidan, the earth will give birth, v'itzmicha, and it's going to make things grow. So you see that growth is compared to birth. That means that the rain itself is like the act of intercourse. Said, Rabbi Rishona, the amount of rain that we would like to have in the first rain is Kadesh Teir Bekarka Tefach. If the rain should penetrate into the earth to sink a tefach into the ground, that's what's good. Shnia, the second rain, Kadesh Lagufa Pichavis, that the earth should become so moist that you can take this mud and cover the cover of a barrel with it without having to add more water. Amar Rav Chizur said, "Gshamim sheyardu ad kidei laguf bahem pichavis." If there was enough rain so that it made mud, you can cover the cover of a barrel. Ein bahem mishum va'atzar. Then it's not chas v'shalom Hashem denying you rain. Amar Rav Chizur said, "Gshamim sheyardu kodem." Rain that comes down before va'atzar. What does it mean? Rain that comes before va'atzar. Va'atzar as Hashemayim is in Kriyat Shema. So rain that comes in the morning before. We'll see rain that comes in the late afternoon. Rain that comes before the time of Kriyat Shema, ain bahem yishum va'atzar, doesn't have this. If the rain came before the time of Kriyat Shema, then certainly these people are not having a curse. They're not having rain denied them. Amar Abaye said, "La'amaran ela kodem va'atzar du'urta." That's talking about before the Kriyat Shema of night. If you have the rain during the day, that's a blessing. Ela kodem va'atzar du'tzafer. But if you only have the rain before the Kriyat Shema of the morning, then you still might have been denied rains. I'm Rav Yehuda Bar Yitzchak. I don't need the tzifra. Let's from Mishasha, because Rav Yehuda Bar Yitzchak said that the clouds that come in the morning, they don't really do anything. That doesn't bless the year. It says, what can I do for you, Ephraim? What can I do for Yehuda? Your kindness is kanan boker, like the cloud of the morning. Therefore, it doesn't really accomplish much, because when the sun comes out, it makes all the water evaporate. But people say, "B'miftach bavei mitra." If the rain comes down in the morning, when people are opening their doorways, so they say, "B'miftach bavei mitra." If the rain came down at the time that people are opening their doorways, they say bar chamara. They say to the guy who is selling the wheat, moch sakach v'gani. You can fold up your sack that has the wheat and go to sleep, because the rain that's coming now in the morning means that it's going to be a great year. And everybody's going to have a lot of wheat, and therefore you're not going to make any money selling the wheat, because there'll be plenty of supplies. You see that rain in the morning before Kriyat Shema is a sign of blessing. It's the Gemara Lokash, a sign of contradiction. This that we said that rain in the morning is a blessing, the Kater Be'iva, is when the heavens are surrounded in clouds. That's certainly a blessing. Vaha the Kater. So one is with thick clouds, Vaha the Kater Ba'anani, the other is when it's covered with weak clouds. When it's covered with weak clouds, then the rain that's there right before Kriyat Shema is not a sign of blessing. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue.